The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
Independence, Ohio.
We changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news medias don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemy of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left on this 15th day of May 2023. And no, it's 19th day. I did that to see what you would do. You see that? Do you know what that is? The cackle. Do you hear the cackle? You always hear the cackle. Go ahead, cackle. No eggs. A lot of cackling. No, never an egg, though, right? Okay, she's the size of a banty hen. She's 88 pounds of pure. Well, we left off there last night. Little Lisa!
Good evening, everyone.
Alrighty, she did it. She got her done. All right, back there in the... She's going to go back and cackle at the guys... You better go back and check on them because back in the phone booth back there, you've got the guys back there. You got Frank and Eric and Ron, but they got a lady back there too. Barb's back there. They're not used to having a lady. You better go back and check on them. I don't even let Lisa in there. I keep her up here because between here and there, we have the glass cage. And who's in there but our producer? Ever vigilant, and getting better every week. None other than Courageous Craig.
Good evening, everybody.
Okay, see how he does that? I mean, does that sound professional or not? It does. Do that again.
Good evening. It's Pledge Week, too.
Okay, there you go. You see that? There you go. Now, wow, Pledge Week. Look at this. We've already got our first pledge in. Anonymous Pledges 500. Thank you. Already. Oh, so last night after hours, Karen and PA came in with 50. Thank you, Karen. Already. Now, way down in the heart of Texas, we have none other than that man of great distinction. None other than Big John McTernan.
Well, thank you for the nice introduction, Pastor Ernie, and God bless you and all our listeners, and may we have a wonderful show tonight.
Yeah, we're going to do that, but we have a couple things we got to get to right away. Here it is. Pastor Fred is in the hospital. Pastor Fred Haig with heart failure today. And Pastor Fred, since about 1980, around in that area, has been my associate pastors, and he has been the guy, the number one guy, whenever I'm not in the pulpit when I'm out or I have to go someplace. He fills the pulpit, and he's been teaching a Bible study for a long time, and him and his missus, very, very pro-life activists. They were up there on the streets with me years ago, him and Sandy. And tonight we want to keep Pastor Fred in prayer as he's going to be getting some heart surgery. And also we need to pray for his wife, Sandy, to be a comfort and the girls, his children. So let's pray right now. And folks out there, join with us because tonight we're praying for Fred. And many of you listening out there to us right now, you send in donations and you help us and you send cards and letters. And every single one of you that when you send that donation, even when you don't ask for prayer, you get prayed for. We send them out, we take it, and we hold you up to the Lord and ask that you would be blessed as you blessed us with your support. And so just so you know that, every single one of you, you get prayed for. And so let's go now and pray for Pastor Fred. Heavenly Father, Lord God, we just want to hold Pastor Fred up at this time. And Lord, he has been a faithful, faithful servant all these years out there on the streets, even in the wintertime. I remember one time he ended up on the hood of a car when he was trying to just save babies when the opposition, the death culture, tried to kill us, I think. And so, Lord, we just want to hold Pastor Fred up and ask at this time, Lord, that you would touch him, you would be with him, Father God, and Lord, that he might receive a complete and total healing. And Lord, a clear mind and a pain-free body until the time you take him home, and that you would be a comforter for Sandy and the girls. These things we ask now in Jesus' precious name. Amen. All right. Phone numbers, 888-281-1110. 888-281-1110 or 888-677-9673. John, before we even get started, so far, this has not been one of our best weeks by far this week. And in fact, every night we've come short. This is the first time that we've come short of our goal every night of the week. So, and I understand it's because of the Biden economy with what's going on. But, John, you know that we're living in a time where right now prayer is needed more than ever. And voices, a voice in the wilderness, the voice of this radio, the voice of the Christian resistance is needed here in America more than ever right now. So would you go ahead and ask, pray that... pray for this ministry, that we would receive the funding, and also, John, for our nation, for repentance and revival. Would you do that?
Yes, Pastor Ernie. Thank you for the honor of praying. Father in heaven, we thank you for the ability to come on this show and week after week present truth that is being really presented by so few. And Pastor Ernie is probably leading the charge. And the people need to hear the things that are proclaimed here. They need to know it for decisions to make, and they need to know it for prayer and maybe taking action. So, Lord, this is a listener donations. Keep us on the air. There's no advertising. I'm asking that you would put it on the listeners' hearts, Lord, to send the funds in to keep the show on the air. Otherwise, station by station has to be shut down. So, Lord, we're asking now that you put it on the hearts of the listeners to send in the funds that will keep this show on the air. And, Lord, part of keeping the show on the air is praying for the nation. And in a couple weeks, it'll be June 1st, and that means LGBTQ month signed off by the president. He's going to make a declaration probably May 31st to June 1st. Lord, it's proclaiming sin and putting sin together as a right, as something that's wholesome. When your word, you say that you destroy nations that promote such sin, Lord. We're asking for a spiritual revival, Lord, to flow through the nation, to rise up as a standard against this sin. Otherwise, Lord, we're way down the road of Sodom and Gomorrah now, and we're in danger of being judged by you in a fatal way. So thank you for this opportunity to pray. Thank you for this opportunity to alert the listeners about what we face coming in June. And thank you for the opportunity to bless the show now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, John. Eva in Florida pledges 50. Thank you, Eva. God bless. All righty. John, we're going to start tonight over in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. You know, I have people ask me all the time, Pastor Sanders, why don't more pastors preach the way you do? Why don't more of them do like you do and expose the darkness, like in the Bible, when you had Balaam and Balak, when the prophets exposed Jezebel and Ahab and all of the wicked people in the Bible, when John the Baptist exposed Herod. And why aren't pastors out there being bold today? Why aren't they leading their people? What's wrong? Well, we know what God's Word, the Bible, has to say about the days we're living in, right? And so this is the time, what is called the Day of Sorrows. Well, there are, John, as you know, you're one of those pastors that preachers that do preach like I preach. And here, in fact, we have several. Just Pastor Fred is one of those. We just referred to him. Pastor Larson, both Pastor Larsons, many of those right here on this radio program, on this station here, do preach the hard gospel. Now, I know that we seem to be a little bit more zealous. I know people have often referred to us as like flaming hellfire brimstone preaching, but we need hellfire brimstone preaching today, don't we, John?
Well, yeah, Pastor Ernie, because it really highlights what's going on. I mean, Pastor Ernie, if it was 1929, 1930 in Germany, and the Nazis were on the move there, wouldn't there be a need for, we'll say, hellfire preaching against them?
Boy, if they'd have had that, if Hitler knew that. Hitler knew that the preachers didn't have the courage, huh?
He did, Pastor Ernie. They asked him about because it was a Lutheran church, was the state church, and he said that they're more worried about their pensions. And he was absolutely right.
Yeah. I remember as a young preacher when I was asking people about, where's the pastors at when they passed Roe v. Wade? Why aren't the pastors by thousands and thousands? Well, we did, 100 of us did go to Washington, but 100 wasn't enough. Why weren't there 10,000 preachers there? And I had some of the older pastors tell me, if you keep this up, you're going to bring the government down on all of us. And they were more afraid of the government than they were God, huh?
You know, Pastor Ernie, the Bible says a fear of man brings a snare to your soul.
Let's
and
go.
So the fear of man neutered those preachers.
You're not kidding. Let's go, John, over to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And why don't you go ahead and read verses 1 through 6.
Okay. 2
Corinthians chapter 11.
Oh, 2 Corinthians. I'm in 2 Chronicles.
Well, that's not the same, John.
It's close. now, hang on, Pastor Ernie. That electric Bible here is...
I knew it. I knew it.
Well, the problem is I put in 2 Chronicles again instead of 2 Corinthians. Here we are.
C-O-R.
We're in here.
Okay.
All right, I'm at verse 1. Would to God ye could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. For I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety.
Subtlety.
So your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you received another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, you might well bear with him. For I suppose I would not a whit behind the very chiefest apostle. But though I be rude in speech, yet not in knowledge, but we have been thoroughly made manifest among you in all things.
Okay. Sometimes you'll have those days. You're having one of those. I've had those where your tongue gets twisted. You get tongue-tied. And maybe that was Paul's problem, because he says, though he be rude in speech. And sometimes there's those certain words that no matter how you try, you can't pronounce. But anyhow, if we look at this, when he says, if they come preaching another Jesus whom we have not preached, okay, or if you receive another spirit which you have not received, or another gospel which you have not accepted, we might well bear with him. All right, if we look at that today, I mean, if we can't apply what we're reading here, because this book, the Bible that we have, is a living, breathing document, it applies to our daily life. And so if we apply this, John, and we take a look at this, and if we have preachers coming today preaching another gospel, for example, if we look at the gospel of live the good life now, live the good life now. Do you know who says that all the time?
Yeah, that
Joel Osteen.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Now. Let me ask you this. Does the gospel of Jesus Christ say, place up your treasures on earth for today, or does he say, place up your treasures in heaven to when you get there?
In heaven, Pastor.
So when Joel says, live the good life now, it's now, you know, not when you get to heaven. Is that a different gospel?
Oh my, yes. That's a worldly gospel, a lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and pride of life.
Okay, so now T.D. Jakes says, get your stuff now. Get your stuff now. Okay, don't wait. So does the Bible say that we get the stuff now, or we place up again our treasures in heaven?
Well, what are we to get now, Pastor Ernie? You know, I mean, what is so urgent about getting your things now?
Well, T.D. Jakes has a diamond ring on every finger. So what is that?
I don't know, Pastor Ernie. It doesn't really amount much to me. So you got a diamond ring on every finger. So what?
Okay. Well, what about Kevin Copeland? He says, you can make God pay up. You can make God, you can take the Bible, his word right here, and you can make him, you can virtually extort God and say, right here, God, in your word, you told him about the blessings that you have for us, so we want you to cough up. Okay, how does that square with what the Bible actually teaches?
Well, there seems to be a lack of. I don't know much about him, Pastor Ernie, but it's from your describing him, it sounds like a lack of humility, and we got to be careful for striving for money like that, because it says you can be pierced through by many sorrows.
Well, now Kevin Copeland says he's heading towards being worth $2 billion. He owns his own on several airplanes. Jets, Learjets, and he has his own airfield now. And again, it's what you call, it's the Word of Faith, along with Joel Osteen and the others, the Prosperity Movement. The Prosperity Movement, okay? So then, when you look at this, do you think, see, these guys, they seem to know some of what the Bible teaches, Well, let me ask you this, Joe, because, I mean, does the Bible teach that if you have all the good stuff today, if you're living the prosper, the material, wealthy life today, does that mean how good are your chances as being a very, very rich man like Kevin Copeland, a billionaire, getting into heaven?
Well, if the goal is to be rich and not to have Christ as your Lord and Savior, in other words, you could know that preaching the gospel can get attention of people and they'll support you. It's really up to the heart, Pastor Ernie, but I mean, that money could take over his life. And like I said, it could be pierced through many sorrows about this. And riches could, the Bible warns about riches flying away. And could be an economic turn very soon, and he might lose everything he has.
So is it easier for a camel to fit through the eye of a needle than for a billionaire to get to heaven?
I would think so, Pastor Ernie.
Yeah, I would think so. Even though,
become, you know, like idolatry.
Okay, what about, you remember Reverend Ike, don't you? You got to remember Reverend Ike.
Yeah, I remember him. My dad used to watch him. It's like a lark, I guess you'd say. But I remember him as a kid with my dad watching him.
All right, so now Reverend Ike would say, I am going to live sumptuously. I am going to do it, not for me, not for me. I'll do it for you. You can't do it, but I can do it for you. You send that money in here to me. And listen, you know, I don't want no change. Right. I don't want no change.
That I remember, Pastor. I remember him saying that. I don't want to hear any change. No change.
And I can do it. You can't have a yacht, but I'll have a yacht for you. You can't have a jet plane, but I'll do that for you. And people would say, do it for me, Reverend. Do it for me. Okay. And so I don't know. Those were some interesting days, right? And
Pastor Ernie, what was that, like the late 50s, early 60s with Reverend Ike?
60s, yeah. I would probably say, yeah, it could have been the late, I would probably say more in the early 60s.
Okay. Yeah, I was back in that period of time, but, oh, yeah, I remember Reverend Ike.
Okay, so what about people like Al Sharpton? What about the gospel that Al Sharpton preaches? What kind of gospel is that?
Social. It's a political, it's wrapping Christianity around political issues and then, then using the authority as a pastor to promote that issue.
Okay, so they're talking about they preach another Jesus. They preach a Jesus that's non-judgmental. They preach a Jesus that is tolerant and accepting people in the way they're living without repentance. Is that the Jesus of the Bible?
Well, Pastor Ernie, Luke said that you repent. Right? That you repent and speak the remission of sins beginning in Jerusalem. So repentance is a integral part of Christianity.
All righty. So now you have these people that talking about this effeminate Jesus, what they're preaching today. Let me jump over very quickly to Revelation 19, and I want to read you about the Jesus that these people are going to stand in front of, okay? In Revelation 19, verse 11, and I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him, called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were with him in heaven followed him upon white horses clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, he should rule them with a rod of iron, and treadeth the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God. And he had on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now, does that sound to you like a Messiah that's non-judgmental, that's tolerant and effeminate?
No, Lord. No, Pastor Ernie. He's coming as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And all the wickedness here, all of it, Pastor Ernie, the whole wicked structure of man is going to be completely destroyed at his coming.
Completely. Well, Lord's willing, I'm going to be preaching a complete message on what we're talking about, but with a little bit of a different twist, too, come this Sunday. Now, would you read verses 12 through 15?
Okay, verses 12 through 15. I got it. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, starting at verse 12. But what do I do that I will do, that I may cut off occasion from them which desire occasion? That wherein they glory, they may be found even as we. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transferred into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works.
Does that not describe today the apostate church? That those in the church, the liberal apostate churches, that promote everything that God's Word, the Bible, calls sin, whether it's sodomy, whether it's abortion, whether it's bestiality, and now they're trying to legalize pedophilia. Does that not describe so many in the World and National Council of Churches?
It certainly does, Pastor Ernie. And the last verse, therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. So what they're doing tells you whether they're true or not, Pastor Ernie.
Absolutely.
At the end, it's the works. And that'll be their end too. What they're doing is going to be judged by the Lord at the great white throne judgment, and then the penalty for that is the lake of fire.
Well, you know, here the Apostle Paul, in that he was dealing specifically too with, in that day, the Judaizers who were demanding that Christians adhere to the righteousness of the law in order to obtain salvation. That was actually undermining the doctrine of salvation by grace. In other words, they were trying to mix grace and law, weren't they?
Yeah, and doesn't that really kind of, that still comes down to today, Pastor Ernie.
Yeah, you're right. All righty. Oh, we got to go. We want to say thank you to Bob, and our B&B in Cleveland pledged 400. Cheryl in New Jersey pledges 100. Gloria in New York pledges 200, and Marlene in Michigan pledges 50. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Alrighty. Okay, very good. We right now are at 4,600, where we need 4,600 to make our goal here tonight. The numbers are 888-281-1110, 888-281-1110, or 888-677-9673, 888-677-9673. Folks, don't forget, when you're calling in tonight, we have the Bible Red book. John, did you ever get one of those little red answer, Bible answer books, where how to find it?
I sure did, Pastor Ernie.
Is that a handy, is that next to the Bible, is that not one of the best books you could have?
Pastor Ernie. Today, as a matter of fact, I was moving my books around, and I came across it, and I have it right here next to me, and I can't find it. But yes, the quality is very good, Pastor. The quality of that book is excellent.
We're having people that are ordering 10 or 12 at a time, and they're giving them out as gifts for people. And so we're going to have to restock. But, folks, it is the dynamite. Donation of $25 or more. And don't forget now, you folks out there, some of you may be destitute. If you're really destitute, give us a call at 440-338-1367. And
Pastor Ernie. Oh, here it is, right here. Here it is. I had it right behind me. Bible answers for every need. The right scripture at the right time, every time. And it's good quality.
Oh, it is absolute dynamite. Anyhow, we have those for a donation of $25. We have Foods That Cure by Dr. Cass Ingram. But really good foods. Foods That Cure Diseases. For God gave us the natural herbs, folks, and that actually cure the disease, not just treat the symptoms. We ask a donation of $50 or Attempt to Cure by Dr. Peter Glidden. Which it didn't, does the same thing. It shows you how you can, through nutrition, how you can cure the ailments. And that also, we ask a donation of $50. And now also, we have two CDs here, Freedom Worth Fighting For, Absolute Dynamite. And also, I Stand for the Flag and I Kneel for the Cross. I Stand for the Flag and I Kneel for the Cross. Here's some of the songs that you'll find on here. Just to start with here, Can't You Feel the Kingdom Coming? Awake, O Israel, Better Be Right, Face the Flag. Forever Heroes, I Get a Grip on Immigration. Heaven's Under Siege, His Way, His Word, I Am the Unknown Soldier. I'd Rather Die on My Feet. I've Got a Mansion, Dixieland, Never Had a Chance, Once Before I Die, The Story of the Star-Spangled Banner, Tell Mom and Dad About Jesus, Eagles Gather, We Want This Country Back. That's just on I Stand for the Flag. And then we've got an equal amount on Freedom Worth Fighting For. And folks, now these are the donation of $25 or more. But listen, if you get, let's just say you get any two books, like Foods That Cure or Attempt to Cure, for $50, you can get one of these CDs for free, or you can get the Red Book for free. You can, or if you get, let's just say you got, if you've got four of the Freedom's Worth Fighting For CDs, you get a free one. Or you could get four Red Books, you get a free one. Or you can get, you know, four Red Books and a free CD. However, but listen, you got to tell us. You've got to make sure that you tell us that's what you want. If you don't tell us, then we won't know that, okay? And I know that sounds crazy, but folks, we've had people that send in their money, put nothing on there, and then call us a month later wanting to know when they're going to get their gifts. We got to know this. See, we really have to know it. So anyhow, the phone lines are open at 888-281-1110 or 888-677-9673. Let's see, where did I leave off? Did we leave off with Gloria in New York for 200 and, pardon? I got him, okay. All right, phone lines are open, 888-281-1110 or 888-677-9673. John, you know what's going on in Ukraine, and there's a lot of things that we just don't get the truth. We're going to play a short clip here by Colonel Tony Schaefer. He's going to tell us some things that, John, you know, we're living in very trying times right now. And, you know, we could end up in a nuclear war at any time. You know, the days that we're living in, remember the Lord said he would never destroy the earth by water, but by fire the next time. Anything can happen. That's why it's so important people be prepared, huh? So we're going to play a short clip here by Colonel Tony Schaefer. Go ahead and take it away.
Good morning, Colonel Tony Schaefer. Thank you so much for coming on today's show. Stephen, always great to be back. Thanks for having me again.
Yeah, okay. I have so many questions, some of them about the United States, our border situation, our military, the government spending our tax dollars inappropriately.
Yeah.
Others, I want to talk about what's going on in the Russia-Ukraine war. So let's jump in. But thank you so much for taking time out of your schedule to be here.
Sure.
Okay, so this is kind of a big story that I'm not seeing get a lot of coverage. Yesterday, British intelligence released satellite imagery that Putin has stationed 18 nuke bombers 140 miles from the Finland border.
Mm-hmm.
However, intelligence is suggesting that these bombers are not there to intimidate Finland, but rather to have closer proximity in case they need to be dispatched to the United Kingdom. Is this a intimidation tactic, or is Putin readying the Russian army to go after the United Kingdom for sending in these missiles that can attack Russia directly?
So I think it is. No, I think I disagree with the analysis. I think this is meant to intimidate the Finns, the Finnish. Remember, in 1939, the Russians invaded Finland, and it was a very bitter fight. The Russians initially did not. They were, I think the loss rate was 26-1. The Finnish were just kicking the Russians' butt. And now Finland's moving into NATO as well. So, yes, of course, they've put these things. Russia has put these things up on the border to remind people there would be consequences for behavior Russia doesn't like eventually. It's a deterrent measure. Stephen, I recommend people really go back and look at the Cold War and learn more about deterrence. Deterrence was all about very public, very clear displays of military force. Back in the early 50s, Eisenhower, once he became president, used the B-36 Peacemaker as a propaganda tool to dissuade the Russians from doing certain things regarding their nuclear program. This is very public. It was part of something called the New Look by the Eisenhower administration, where they believed, wrongfully, I might add, but they believed at the time that they could use essentially the idea of nuclear force as a factor to prevent any need to engage conventionally. It didn't work. As well, obviously, we know it didn't work, but it didn't stop them. But the idea of deterrence is what's behind Putin's thinking. It's behind the deployment of these nuclear-capable bombers. And the Russians, indeed, are trying to remind people that they are still a nuclear power, that they would, if push comes to shove, use nuclear weapons in response to some threat, and I'm using air quotes here because it's whatever they, the Russians, perceive as that threat. Do they, the Russians, perceive the British support and the U.S. support for Ukraine as a quote-unquote threat? Yes, they do. But that threat is not sufficiently metastasized to the level of them, the Russians, feeling they have to respond directly against NATO and the West. So that's where we're at. But I think the deployment of those nuclear capable bombers is a reminder that if you all continue to poke the bear, if I could coin a term, something bad may happen. And Putin will not lose the Ukrainian war. He will go to nukes before he will do that. And I'm just saying that this is a reminder of that fact.
Okay. Wow. That's scary. Okay. I wondered if it had more to do with Finland and, just barely joining.
It's all related.
Because if they make a strike on the United Kingdom, all hell is going to break loose. But if they can intimidate and remind Finland, hey, we're right here on your border with some serious nuclear power. Okay. Thank you. I appreciate the insight on that. The United States is very excited about their Patriot missile system arriving in Ukraine.
Yeah.
We're hearing stories of it. I saw a video clip of it, launching 30 counter-strike missiles and effectively defending Ukraine. However, they're saying it took down a hypersonic missile, which has gotten some scientists into trouble. We'll talk about that in a minute. But
yeah.
Is that system going to be helpful for them? And then secondly, we're hearing that Russia has at least damaged one or maybe taken out one. Can you tell us what's going on with the Patriot missile system in Ukraine?
Well, let's get some background on the hypersonics first so people better understand. My source is Ambassador Hank Cooper. Hank Cooper ran SDI under President Bush, 40-41. And he's one of our distinguished fellows for both Project Sentinel and London Center. And he was one of the scientists who worked on this issue. He actually runs a company or former company that makes nuclear weapons and deployment systems. So he explained to me what goes on with hypersonics. Hypersonics are indeed a very effective weapon system, but there are certain points in the flight, in the trajectory, that are vulnerable. For example, when it's coming out of hypersonic status.
All right, we're going to give that number out. We'll go back to that in just a minute. When we find out about these hypersonic, these things you really need to know. 888-281-1110. 888-281-1110 or 888-677-9673. 888-677-9673. All right, we have Gary in Florida pledged 100. Thank you. Carlson in Ohio pledges 50. Thank you. Pardon? Carson. That's Carson in Ohio pledges 50. Thank you, Carson. 888-281-1110. 888-677-9673. Play just a couple more minutes of this, and then we're going to go back to John.
Hypersonic. It's fast, but not hypersonic. It's got to slow down because to be effective in targeting, it's got to kind of see where it's going. So it's kind of it's going fast, and it slows down and gets ready to go down. And as it's coming out of it's slowing down to go its final trajectory, it's vulnerable. So I think we figured that out. Just saying, I'm not giving away secrets here. I'm speaking based on my conversations with a scientist, with someone who was worked in these designs back in the 70s. So, but my theory is the Patriot algorithm figured out that vulnerability and was able to figure out that very small window of when it's coming in and you can see it and you can get it. That's what I think happened here. So as much as they've said, and I've said publicly, oh, we can't shoot them down. I was corrected by Ambassador Cooper saying, well, there's a window of vulnerability, and that's what they were looking at. Again, just for the audience, no, I'm not speaking based on any direct knowledge of what the U.S. defense establishment's done. So just so we're clear on that. But I think that's what happened here. Regarding the Patriots itself, it's good news, bad news thing, Stephen. I mean, yeah, they shot all those down. They may have shot one of the two of these things down, but at what cost? Patriot missiles are hugely expensive, and they're burning through like 30 a day. That's not sustainable. These things are hugely expensive. We can only manufacture so many so fast. So I think the public disclosures of the Teixeira documents that were leaked, I think, are accurate. I think by the end of this month, and we're talking 2 weeks, the Ukrainians are going to be out of effective countermeasures to take out the Russian missiles coming in, to include Patriot missiles, because you can only manufacture and use so many so long. So you know, it's a game of attrition at this point, Stephen, of who overwhelms who first at this point. So.
All righty, we are back. First of all, Big John McTernan, what do you think?
Yes, McTernan.
Are you there, John?
Yes, President.
Okay, let me ask you this. He said Russia will not lose that war to Ukraine. They will use nuclear weapons first. What do you think?
I think he's 100% right.
And so now what's happening is our military, we are sending all of our munitions, you know, we're depleting our munitions in a vast, vast rate. I mean, people are telling us, look, our military, we're in serious, serious trouble here. And of course, I think we have some people in there like Mr. Milley in Austin, and of course, Obama, Biden, that's their purpose to totally, to destroy our military. What do you think?
Their purpose is to destroy everything, Pastor Ernie. I mean, the borders, the economy with inflation. They made us oil dependent, turned us 180 degrees around. They're trying to violate our rights in every way you look at it. So there's no, I don't see anything from everything I'm reading of our military. Oh, and then they've got drag queens on military bases, Pastor Ernie. I think they had them at West Point, too.
Well, you know, Austin lied under oath to the Congress. Yeah. I watched him lie. He knew it. He looked in the look on his face. He knew he was lying. They had, they were deploying all of these drag queens. Now, the last verse in Romans 1 says, those that do such, those that love such things do them also. In other words, it's referring to people. You've heard people say, well, personally, you know, I could never be engaged in a homosexual act, or personally, I could never be a pedophile. But the Bible says those, but then they say, but I don't want to judge those that do them. So Scripture says those that are saying these things are the ones that are doing these things. If they're promoting them, if they're supporting them, they're doing them too. So do you think Austin and Millie may be drag queens themselves?
I don't know, Pastor Ernie. Oh, well, yeah, if they're supporting it in God's eyes, they're doing it. If they're promoting it, they're doing it, Pastor Ernie. And they get the same judgment as if someone that's doing the sin against the Lord. But Pastor Ernie, here, the recruiting is way, way, way down. I think it's 3 years in a row now. The recruiting for the military is way thousands, tens of thousands.
It's because they're trying to recruit people that are sodomites, homosexuals. They're not trying to recruit the best, the bravest and the best, okay?
Right. Well, the brightest and the best aren't signing up. They're not coming in. They're looking at the military, and they're saying, no way. Now, Pastor Ernie, look, I knew there was some foolproof answer to your question. Now, the military was not the military behind COVID-19 shots?
Absolutely, they were. That is exactly, they were.
They were. Now, was the military forcing these death shots on the soldiers?
Let's not call the military. Let's say the Pentagon, because the military were the soldiers. Yeah, they were forcing that. In fact,
the Pentagon there.
Yeah,
yes. And they were trying to destroy any soldier that wouldn't go along with their edict, right?
Well, I got an article right here. Listen to this. It says, "Never forget." Democrats wanted the unvaccinated fired first from their jobs and then thrown into prison for rejecting COVID jabs. Well, the military wanted them to be, well, ousted them. They did oust them out of the military for refusing to take the poisonous poke.
Yeah, and the courts sided with the military, with the Army.
Yeah.
So does that answer your question?
Well, what happened, though, they've had to change that because of so many lawsuits, and then, of course, the brightest and the best got out. And right, so what was the recruiting film that they had? The Army came out with a recruiting film. I watched the Russian and the Chinese recruiting film. Here you had the super soldiers, I mean, you know, Strike Force One. Ours, they had a lesbian. They had a lesbian get out there talking about how good it is to be able to wear a uniform and be a lesbian. And then just recently, the Navy just came out with their recruiting film, and it was a drag queen. They used a drag queen. Now, do you think that possibly they know that this will destroy that? I mean, look, John, I can tell you, I was in the military. And I sure wouldn't want to be in a barracks with sodomites and drag queens. Things wouldn't work out very well for us. So don't you think that that's being done on purpose just to destroy the military?
Absolutely, Pastor Ernie. I mean, the open borders, is that being done on purpose?
Absolutely. Yeah. Two and a half years ago, we told you.
Pastor Ernie, I'm sorry, go ahead.
or 2.5 years ago, John, we told you, I sat and I listened to the high Chinese government officials, the generals, and what they were saying. And we went on the air and we said Joe Biden's got his orders to keep the borders open, to keep the flow of fentanyl coming into America, to keep a good supply of human trafficking and a good supply of children for the pedophiles. I went on that 2.5 years ago. We said that. Well, no, more and more is coming out every day about that. But we told you that 2.5 years ago.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. So they've done every area that you look at. Biden, Obama, they are working overtime trying to destroy America, Pastor Ernie. With debt, the debt, I mean, he was warned that all that trillions of dollars that they were, the debt they were building up would raise and cause inflation. It would cause inflation. He did it anyway. Oh, no, it was temporary little bump and that would be the end of it. You know, the cities, look what the Democrats under, and with Obama, look what they're doing to the cities, Pastor Ernie.
Yeah, it's being done on purpose.
Being destroyed.
And right now they're bringing all these people in, and Biden is bringing in all of these Chinese nationals. He's bringing in known terrorists. They're not planning on losing the election. They're planning on having a civil war in this country all the way out. And of course, again, you know, we the people, it's going to be up for us. Now, I've been watching, too, with what's been taking place, and we'll talk about that because we're coming up to a break. With the FBI and the so-called Justice Department and that, I've got to say Jim Jordan and these guys are doing an excellent job of bringing this information out. And all these hearings, and we keep hearing all this, but John, we got to talk about what is going to be done about it. What is going to be done about it? All right, I want to say Paul and Granberry. No, wait, Patricia and Perth. Gary in New Jersey. Pledges 100. Patricia and what is that? Perth Amboy 125. Paul in Granberry, Texas 50. Kelly in California 100. Anonymous in Cleveland 50. And Mark in Cleveland 100. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. And so, yeah, go ahead, John.
Ernie, I'm sure there hasn't been national attention, but here in Texas. We're picking up what's going on in the border, and they're bringing buses, the government, Border Patrol, they're bringing buses right to the border. I mean, as they come through the gate, they get on the bus, and they load them up, and off they go, and another bus, and another bus, and another bus. They're taking them right as they come, and they're not taking them to any processing. They're just taking them and bringing them in, and they're not being checked to see if they're criminals or diseases or anything like that. So this is how many can we take like that in the nation, Pastor?
Well, they want to have their goal used to be 50 million. Now it's 100 million. Now it is 100 million is their goal. This is the latest goal. So anyhow, we're coming up to a break. John, when we come back from the break, I'm going to talk a little bit about Naomi Wolf has got some very interesting things that's happening, and we're seeing these things that people are wondering, they're scratching their head, and she's going to explain to you why these things are happening. So, all right, we're going to be back right after this. Don't go away.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to wrwl.org. That's wrwl.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. Thewordcleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.